Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Bizarre Junkies podcast. I'm your host, Austin Alvarez. We got Jory on the decks. Jory, you have to say hi this time. He's you can tell. I mean, the Dahmer episode we did, he was shy because that was actually, I think it was day one. I think that was like, he had technically had a day zero and then a day one. That was day one. But we are finally, and I don't know why it took so damn long, but we have Old Man Liver back.
Thanks for having me back.
Back in the seat, but...
And I'm almost sober.
We're so almost sober. Last time, we weren't at all.
No.
Which I think made it a little bit better, but...
Yeah, but I mean, I'm hammered, but not as much as normal.
So, right. This is well within your tolerance
level. It's all
relative,
yeah.
So, okay.
But thank you.
So, if you have been following the channel for some time, you would know that we went and did a paranormal investigation. My first ever paranormal investigation, I feel like... We popped a lot of cherries that night, okay? For a lot of different people.
One of them was mine.
Yeah.
It was an accident.
Hey, yo.
He slipped me his cracker while I was just rubbing by. Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did a paranormal investigation at the Pioneer Saloon, which is a place that you own and operate.
Yes, we did. It was back in October.
Yeah, October and
Halloween-esque. Yeah, and like we did multiple paranormal investigations that month, and we stirred some shit up, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Ship was coming home with me, and I mean, we'll get into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Detail.
I mean, not to pad my stats, who was the most put together, though, of all the...
Clearly, your group was. much more professional than Ghost Adventures.
Well, I mean, that you've
Channel
been a part
13.
Of.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, you guys...
Yeah, Jory, you have a check,
great.
Right? Yeah, yeah, okay. We'll pay you for that after that.
Yeah, you are super
obviously, we can't top Ghost Adventures. I mean, we've had Jay on the show... And he's hooked us up with some connections that have helped us with the paranormal investigation we did with you.
Yeah, all joking aside, y'all were amazing.
Thank you. That was our first time. And actually, as I told you, we this weekend are actually doing our second ever paranormal investigation, but it's here at the studio because we have had some things going on. And I know I think I told you the last time you were on, but in this room originally, crime scene cleaner I had on the show. Brought in these dolls that he had obtained from a serial killer.
I remember that.
And that brought a lot of dark energy in here. And I don't think it fully left when he took them with him. Now, we also have my friend's ashes here at the studio. Both George and I have our own little vial of them. And then as well, I don't think anything followed us, at least the time we went with you.
Fine, because... Brian saged us.
That's
all, yeah.
Which I don't even think we included in the video,
no,
but
we
did.
Should have, because that's a cool behind-the-scenes thing that
the one this
now
weekend,
I'm going to do every fucking time.
Yeah. Okay, so let's dive into that. I want to get into the real specifics of the investigation when we did it, but I just want to hear about that. So we did ours Wednesday, I believe the 18th of October. We came in and we did it, and we left around 3 a.m. And we premiered it 2 weeks later at the Pioneer, which I think was... killer. I think that was so cool that we were able to pull that off.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And I'm super thankful that you allowed us to do that.
Thanks for coming out.
We brought people and I made them have a $50 minimum order at the bar.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
But
make a living.
Yeah, we gotta support small businesses, okay, folks? But we did that, and then I remember hearing, I think it was that night, Brian told me, "Hey man, so we were good, but one of the news stations went out there and they stirred a bunch of shit up and nobody cleansed and you told us last time that your house in Vegas is fine, but your house in Good Springs is older, so you know there's activity there.
Correct.
But your house in Vegas started having activity, correct?
Yes, right after that local news paranormal investigation. But this was after a month of constant
shit. What was the event?
We called it Spirits with Spirits.
Yes, yes.
So we'd have drinks while you go ghost hunting and shit after we closed down. And we did several of them, I think maybe... like 8 to 10 that month on top of like yours and the local news. And so everything was all fucking haywire. It took a couple months for the saloon itself, for the energy to calm down
and get
in Christmas mode. Yeah. From like Halloween mode. But no, it was a lot of fun but a lot of you guys were amazing and we had a great
Thank
time.
You.
We had a lot of stuff happen.
I don't know if you had the same realization on any of the other investigations, but the realization we had with ours was very deep. Where, by the way, if you haven't seen it, pause this right now and go watch it. It's on the YouTube. It's crazy. I would say it's one of the highest level production things I've ever done in terms of quality. Like, I'm very proud of what we did.
No, you had a big team and a lot of
we actually had a small team.
Equipment
technically, it was myself, Travis, George, Christina, and. Brian Gonzalez, who was a cam op there, but in post, it was just Travis and myself. That was it. It was just Travis.
Yeah,
I was dreaming in Premiere Pro for 2 weeks after that, because I spent all day every day editing that, because it was so much footage. Yeah. I actually had to get Brian Hopkins to help. He did a great job listening to like the recordings over, and that's how he was able to find like that woman saying something to me. When I was alone, he was the one who found that. We also found like a ringing, but I couldn't really hear it. Maybe I'm just that deaf. That frequency is gone for me.
Yeah, there's all kinds of audio and shit.
Yeah, and there was a lot of stuff we couldn't catch.
Went back and I watched the show and it was killer. I'm like, I've touched myself to it, to be honest with you.
That's actually the best compliment I've ever gotten about it.
Seriously. In fact, speaking of which, do you feel a vibe in here right now? Like, do you ever feel like someone's sitting in the chair, like, and you're like sitting on their lap? I'm just throwing it out there. I got a really weird. I almost feel like my fucking.
I'm being totally serious. Okay.
Like my arms are sitting on someone else's arms right now. Like
I have not, but
all right.
Here's the thing.
It might be just the acid I did before I came here, but I don't fucking.
Here's the thing though. You and I, every time we're together though, at least at the Pioneer, we had something going on.
Oh yeah. No, remember when we sat at the table and all of a sudden instantly the vibe. The vibe was
Jory. So I think I told you, because I make all the new people watch it. we almost make them watch it as like a, oh, you think this is a cool place?
Right.
We're crazy too. Okay. But so I guess we can just start going right into it about the whole thing. So we get there. And we do some interviews with you and some other staff members and Brian, and we kind of get kind of the backstory and the history of the place. We then start getting a lights on tour. Totally fine. We start outside. We work our way through the courtyard in. As we get to the table where the infamous poker game happened, I go to pull the chair out from underneath the table, and the chair has like resistance to it. And I couldn't explain it. And I sat down and I sat with it for a minute. I let you go on. I was like, I'm just going to let him do his thing. Sitting there. And then I eventually interrupted you. And I was like, okay, no, I'm feeling energy right now. And without even missing, he goes, I feel that too right now. And I was like, okay, energy is real. All right. Yeah. I'm not just imagining things at this point.
And it was not there before.
And it wasn't there
sat
after.
Down. It wasn't after. Yeah. We were kind of trying to chase it for a while there throughout the saloon. Yeah.
Yeah. And we, am I pronouncing Boobar, right?
Yeah, Boobar. Yeah,
he told us in the interview, he said, don't go chasing it. Let it come to you.
Right.
And I think that was the problem we had is we tried to chase it at first. And like, it's on video of you like ran to the back. And
yeah, because you could feel it. Sometimes you just like, I feel it back in the back office. Yeah.
Well, we heard that noise. Yeah. There was the something fell in the back. Yep. And then we go back there. Nothing's misplaced.
Yeah.
But so we're there. And that was my first time ever having that concrete of a paranormal, because anything beforehand that was paranormal, I couldn't identify, and it was like a one-off thing, and it was like, okay, well, that was weird. But this was so many things happening during the night.
Yeah. And we could have gone on all night long. Yeah.
Here's the thing is I realized like we started kind of early. We started around 8. We got there around 8, and we started, I think, around 10:30 is when we really started actually getting things going with the investigation. And around 2 o'clock in the morning is when it started to kind of ramp.
Right. And then we were like Brian was saying, we go till 6 a.m. when the sun comes up.
We could have,
at a certain point, people, you got to pay them and they kind of want to be paid, hourly and got to go home and sleep.
Sleep's the thing. Well, I mean, here's the thing. It was a Wednesday night. All of us had to go back to work that morning. But so what specifically about us stood out to you besides obviously, I mean, everybody else was kind of like either through the program you had at the saloon or it was the news company, but was there anything different because it was Brian and myself?
Well, just since we're all friends, that's always fun. I didn't know a lot of the other groups, probably any of the other groups that month. So then, we already had a connection and we know when, we already know we're not fucking with each other and we're not, we had that rule that you don't, cause we want everything to be legit.
Yeah.
And if you hear something or a noise pops up, and I remember one really cool thing that you did was try to investigate every noise so that we could validate that it wasn't just something more common that it was.
Yeah.
Cause I remember a couple things we were like, that's just this or this person in the back, or it's picking up a radio with a car outside or something. But then the ones that we couldn't explain, We focused in on that.
Yeah.
And we always had a lot of activity. Which
we did.
Awesome.
And one of the things that I did, and it actually didn't make the cut, which, by the way, I have the, and I'll have to send it to you, but I have the uncut, I have it, because the original, the video itself is 26 minutes. I have a version that's an hour long.
I remember that's
on YouTube members.
That.
I'll have to,
I want to see that version.
I'll send it to you. I'll just send you a Dropbox link so you can just see it.
Yeah.
But, and I'm talking to Jory, because Jory, you know, was, I feel like he's skeptical about me experiencing anything. But so the way I was kind of proving myself, in my, at least in my opinion, right in some aspects, was I would take the EMF detector and I would, like, I'm experiencing something. Let me see what's around me. And I could be like, oh, the EMF's going off. Oh, no, there's a power line right there. Or, oh, there's...
Right.
One that didn't really make it because it was kind of a lot of, like, speculation was that bra in the back was just going crazy and there's nothing around it. And
yes.
I thought that was a power line above it, but then you told me, no, that's plumbing.
Correct. Now, just to explain to the audience that I don't just keep bras in my back office.
I mean, I do. Some of them, but not this one.
In this particular case, it was we had this event called Breastfest. That's a breast cancer charity concert. And people make their own creative bras, and then we auction them off, and it all goes to breast cancer charity. So that's why, in this particular case, there were bras in the back. But it was there was definitely we have some pipes that go nowhere. Like it's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff around the saloon. Kind of like what's that Winchester house in Northern California that, like, there are stairs going to nowhere and all that kind of. Same with the saloon. These are like extensive pipes that literally just go nowhere and they just stick out and they're just hanging out. And that, so we had a bra hanging off that and there was a lot of activity around there and you could feel it. It was like one of these tangible things.
It was like a radiating feeling.
Yeah. You know, your hair is sticking up and it's, you're, there's static in the, you know, in the air and you're like, you're seeing, watching something move real time and hearing a noise behind you. And that's, it's pretty fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so besides that, I mean, was there, I mean, I sound like I'm so full of myself, but like, I'm just curious because we're about to do another one here this weekend.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to use more tools. So we're going to use, one of them is, I'm going to get an actual spirit box this time, not just the phone app, because the phone app is a little dicey on the credibility.
Right.
However, and we'll get into this a little later, but the credibility of what we found on the spirit box is a little... It's a little more than just random words, which
right.
is what oftentimes it does. And I actually had some friends from across the pond who have a podcast that I've been on, and they did a review of it. And I'll send you that one, too, because it's interesting to see how they think of it. And they were like, first was the orb that we caught in the main dining room. And they were like,
yes.
That doesn't look like dust.
No.
Sure doesn't. And I don't know if you noticed. I think you may have noticed, but I didn't notice till we were premiering it. But when you come back in, there's another orb right next to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to see that.
Yeah, I didn't notice it until we were, and I think Lana, who was with us at the time, pointed it out. She goes, oh, there's another orb right there. And I was like, I didn't even, and I've been looking at this edit for days at this point. And I was like, my eyes must be so fatigued that I just didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Because I was so focused on making sure the shot was good with you coming, because this is a creepy shot. It's an IR, it's in black and white, and
is
you're coming
Lana
through.
That introduces herself as Anal Lana?
Yeah, she no longer works here, but
okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, it does make you remember her name, though, the way she talks about that.
It's a lasting impression.
It's very, yeah.
It's a lasting impression, for sure.
It's a marketing lesson there for you.
Yeah,
but no,
have an interesting name.
No, and that's the thing, like, you know, you guys were as professional as anybody else we worked with that whole month. B, you had a good team that was locked in. C, you were using good equipment, maybe not as high end and as much as you would have now, but and we would base things off of whether it wasn't just one reading, but if two different meters are going off or three all at the same time, we're like, okay, and they were all judging different things. Like one was like an FM frequency, one was, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we had the spirit box, like, and you can see this on the video, but in the spirit box session we did at the end, which I kind of want to do more of this weekend when we do it, because we're getting a lot, we were getting somewhere, and it gave us a really heavy realization. But what we would do is we would set them far enough apart, we'd set the phone that had the spirit box on it and then the EMF detector far enough away so that it wasn't really interfering, because it technically could pick up the radio waves from the phone, but at that distance you'd be able to tell.
Yeah,
because you can hold it, and if it's clear and then it spikes real quick and then goes down, you're like, okay, there's something there. But if it just starts spiking, probably have some power somewhere that you need to address. But
right.
we were doing that, though, where we were cross-referencing our data.
Yeah.
Where we would have the spirit box, and we'd get an answer, and every time we get an answer, it would spike.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. And then, you know, of course, the biggest moving thing for me of the night was the whole scenario with Flynn.
Yeah, at the back.
Yeah, so are we there to cover that?
We're not going in chronological order. We can cover it however we want to. But yeah, that was the... And that's why I think that spirit box wasn't full of it, because...
This is fucking good.
Thank you.
Ape water.
It's pretty good, right?
Seriously, this is like the best non-alcoholic drink I've had this week. And I thought this was a big beer, so I was like...
You thought it was like a 40, and you were...
Yeah, I really did. I was like, but this is good.
Well, this is the power of being hydrated. Maybe just drink more water.
Hydration, that's...
Yeah, that water. How often do you drink water a week?
If it's in beer or whiskey, quite a bit. But just...
But straight out of a can or a bottle?
Straight out of a can, it never happens. But it's good. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great. They're great people, too. We enjoy enjoy kind of having that partnership with them. But... So one thing that stood out to me the most about the spirit box and you was, and it's in the video, is you walk up to the booth and it goes, "Hi, Steven."
Yeah. So that was cool, because y'all were talking to the ghosts and bringing up, you know, do you know who this is sitting here? And they would say yes. Other questions, it was no and all that. And you would think, since I've been around now a few years, that they would all know me or have seen me or picked up on my vibe at this point. And so that's what was really cool, is they would actually call me by name.
Yeah.
And then and it wouldn't be automatic for all the questions, and you have to be there for the whole 6 hours to realize this, that there's all this footage that's not included in your show, that but it's proof. It's like, okay, yeah, that didn't, you know, they didn't respond to this, but as soon as I sat down, they called me my name.
Yeah.
And it makes it a lot more authentic. Like, you go, okay, there's something here when you're experiencing it real time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And what really, because what happened was, is like, we were sitting in the bar area, and I feel like we were trying to get somewhere, but it kept like looping us.
Yes.
Like, the spirit box kept kind of looping us, and I feel like at some point it kind of...
Yeah.
Maybe it was losing momentum.
And we didn't take Boobar's advice by not trying to follow the energies.
Yeah.
We did. We were always, you know, one step behind.
Correct. Well, I mean, yeah, how are you supposed to know? And so that's why the beginning... But, like, the thing is, you got to have a lot of time to let the room come to you.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing, is, like, I said that in the beginning, too. When we first started, I said, okay, I kind of want to sit here and just let the room come to us and see what happens. And that's when, and I think it's a very terrifying feeling, where you were like, I feel like it's not in here. It's outside, and it's
watching us. Yeah, for a while, it was.
Is working its way in.
And once again, it's hard to explain this kind of intuition.
Yeah.
And I believe there are psychics and readers and stuff that are constantly...
Well, I mean,
you've
met one that's been on the show.
Who is that?
Buffy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's been on the show.
Buffy's completely tied into that.
I mean, Brian's kind of tied in. He may not be as we'll say he's level one.
Yeah.
He's a Padawan. She's the Jedi.
She is the Jedi, yeah. And she can't shut it off. Like,
no, so I was telling you,
I can't hang out with those guys, because they're always fucking looking behind me at spirits that I'm like, what the f- are you looking through me? Like, who are you looking at? Like,
we were at a golf tournament for Brian for Hero's Journey podcast a few weeks ago. It was a golf tournament. It was like a lot of big football names, a lot of big celebrities were there. And we were there several hours before the event had even started. So we're hanging out in the club room, in the country club. And Buffy's there. She's helping. And we're just talking. And she instantly just goes, hold on, somebody's trying to speak to me right now, and I got to tell them I can't right now. And I was like, all right, we're not even talking about, we were talking about like what our plans were for the weekend. Not even like, do you remember the ghost hunt? What did you think of the ghost hunt? I mean, we did get to that topic, but like, that didn't cause her to start going, oh, hold on, somebody's trying to talk to me.
Right.
Which that was like, okay. And the reason why I believe her so much more than anybody else is, one, she's not trying to sell you anything.
No.
She doesn't really even advertise it either.
She doesn't.
Yeah, and so that may, like, because let's be real, there are shills out there.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, that they're out there and they're like, I'm speaking to your mom right now. And you're like, my mom's still alive. What do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean you're talking to my mom?
You can just, you're on a phone?
Yeah, like, is she, mom? Yeah. Is there a camera in here and she's watching? Like, where's Ashton Kutcher? Tell me I've been punked. But she, for sure, is tied in. But I totally lost my thought because Buffy's great.
No, she is. And she, like you said, she's not, that's not what she does for a living.
No.
So she's not trying to sell something, but she'll tell you.
Well, she did a reading on, I'll have to send you the link to that show because she was on, she did a reading on Lana in the moment.
Oh, cool.
Like she was like, there's a little boy that follows you. And she's like, yeah, I have a ghost that follows me.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, it was pretty heavy.
I know, but Brian's so, always got all kinds of spirits around
him. Yeah. That's why he's coming this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to let him. And he's meeting the Black Cauldron, who is our spiritualist. And I'm very curious to see what they're able to. Yeah,
he brings in his Native American energy. So you connect with that, whole
yeah.
spiritual.
So going back to the investigation, what made it really crazy and heavy at the end was we prefaced with, we did this in October, and I think it was either June or July, right, that Flynn had passed
away? It's hard to remember. I was drunk that year.
Valid. That's completely valid.
But no, I know all these investigations were going on in October. I do know that because that's when Halloween is. But this, yeah, sadly, our dear friend Flynn had passed away in the summer in July. And we weren't ready to go there. I wasn't planning on going there at all. It was way too early.
It was too fresh.
It was too fresh. I didn't want to connect. Now, in all fairness, Flynn was connected to all energies. Like he was part of the earth. He was one of the. He loved living in the desert.
Yeah.
The Mojave. He was connect. He loved going out and collecting.
He was one that bring you things, right?
The one in the what?
He was one of the ones that bring you items.
Oh yeah, yeah. He would find all kinds of neat rocks and crystals and we talked for hours on about the afterlife, and he believed in reincarnation, and he believed the saloon was haunted, no doubt. Even the show we did here, he talks about it because I asked him straight up.
Yeah, you asked all of them. Yeah, I did get to meet Flynn.
Yeah, I'm glad you
a
did.
A few months before he actually, I think it was. A few months before
yeah,
he passed away.
Yeah, probably the spring, right before he passed away.
Yeah,
summer.
I got to meet all of them. The room had a funky smell afterwards, but we'll, you
hey,
know.
Hey, that was probably me.
No, because you've been in more times than it'd
okay,
be fine.
Well, thanks.
But those guys are real pioneers. So
yeah,
those guys
yeah.
actually do the thing.
Yeah, people are like, were you around during the mining days? And it's like, hey, you can't say that. I have old in my name, so it's okay. But these guys, yeah, I'd picked the three guys that had been around for decades. And, but Flynn was one of those, and Flynn, side note, Flynn worked in the Good Springs General Store while they were developing Fallout New Vegas.
Gotcha.
So even though.
So he's the one that I'd rob the shit out of every time I
yeah,
did a playthrough.
So that was,
damn,
you know,
now I feel
that
like
was
an
rude.
Asshole.
Yeah, you are retroactively a dick. But in his case, he doesn't look like the character in the
right.
video game.
Chet.
But yeah, Chet, yeah. And so, but he was the. He was Chet in real life at the time.
So that's who Chet is
yeah,
based off of,
yeah.
is Flynn? Wow, okay. I didn't know that. I knew Easy Pete was based off of Gordy.
Yep.
And then I don't know.
Monica is Trudy.
Which one is Monica? I don't know if I met her.
Okay, she to this day books all the bands at the Pioneer Saloon. And she, yeah, you probably haven't met her unless you came to the Fallout.
I wasn't able to make it then, no.
But yeah, and she does. She has her own band called the B-Side Band and Girl Haggard, and they play at the saloon still. So she still signs autographs and stuff for fans. And then, and one thing that people don't, I know we're getting a little off track,
okay.
and we'll bring it
it's
back.
My show.
Here.
We'll do whatever
yeah,
we want.
Yeah. but there's Doc Mitchell. There's
yeah.
actually a doctor in town named Doc Flemings who lives on the biggest house
on
the
hill.
In Good Springs. So
Jory in the back, he's played it too, so he's connecting the
yeah,
dots
so
right
nobody,
now. Well.
Yeah. Nobody brings him up, but he would have been about the right age as
Doc Mitchell
looks, you know, 12,
Doc Mitchell,
14 years ago.
Hey, he is invited to the cookout, Jory.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't stealing because it didn't say steal on the items in his house. You could just take anything out of his house.
Yeah.
He just let you.
He's a nice guy, and in real life as well.
He'd let you do that? Like, I could go there right now?
And here's the funny thing is all these characters are bigger characters in real life, like weirder, funnier, quirkier
yeah, than
they are in the game.
You mean Gordy,
you know, yeah, like,
yeah, well, he had a slight cameo in the Ghost Hunt, but we didn't use any of his audio because it really wasn't usable, but like Travis hadn't met him yet. And I don't think he remembered me, which is fine, because he was just there to...
You don't want
to
be remembered by Gordy.
No? That's not a good thing?
No, no. Like,
so what does that mean for you?
Well, it just means...
Because you signed the paycheck, right?
He's such a super sweet guy. He'll go hang out with anyone. He'll sign autographs.
Very nice guy.
I'd even tell him, like, Gordy, you can't go smoke pot with the customers. Like, that's just... I mean, far be it for me to...
You're on the clock right now.
Yeah, like, you know. But... yeah, exactly. I'm like, yeah, I can, because I own the place. But you need to at least ask permission before you just, you know, made someone puke because they hadn't smoked pot in 20 years, and they meet you 30 seconds later, they're fucking smoking out already. But anyway, I digress. So getting off the fallout, New Vegas, because that, and just to let your audience know, there's this bar, the Pioneer Saloon. It's the oldest bar in all the Las Vegas area in Southern Nevada, but it's different things to different people. So to some people, it's a haunted house. Other people, it's a historical, we are Nevada Historical Landmark. Other people, it's a biker bar. Other people, it's a family place. Other people, it's a live entertainment venue. And then other people, it's a gamer spot, you know, for
me, it's two now. Here's the thing is, like, before that, my memory, and like, even then, it was just Fallout New Vegas, which, like, it's one of my top games of all time. But now, more so for me, as I have a deeper connection with what I experienced that night, because I still can't explain.
So, you know, getting back to Flynn, he's a dear friend. He was an employee at the Pioneer Saloon at the time that he died. Passed away suddenly. We all had a horrible time. I'm still dealing with it and trying to process it. But at the time, I wasn't ready to even, I'd be more open to purposely trying to connect with them now than I was back, you know, a few months ago. So I was staying away from the topic entirely.
And we weren't pushing it either.
No, you didn't. And you know, you had met him before. Brian had met him. We didn't even cover it. But
yeah, I mean, you brought it up. I mean, it's in the tour where you were like, this is where,
just because we had his memorial.
Yeah. And you were like, you didn't necessarily say like, we've seen him here, but you said like, he was part of this as anybody else.
He has, if you had to go, what person's spirit is defines the saloon, I would say Flynn. Like, sweet, nice, caring, loving, open, energy, part of the energy of the property, the whole shebang. He personified the Pioneer Saloon. And so he has a special place. And so we put his Pioneer Saloon uniform up. We put pictures. We put his favorite alcohols that he drank and beer. And he was a crazy Irish leprechaun type, you know. But that's all I did was point out, because it was obvious that it was something. We were hanging it from inside the dining room, and I just had to explain what that was and tell y'all how, you know, that he had passed away and stuff. But we were not trying to include him in the investigation.
Right.
And it was by pure coincidence, pretty much when we were on our way out, that Brian goes, hey, let's do one more session.
He just started doing it by himself, really.
Yeah. We kind of came and joined him.
Yeah.
And as soon as I sat down, I remember that the meters start going off. And we're like, and that we started the process again. And granted, there was, and you can't know this from the 45-minute show or the 26-minute show, whatever it is. But in all those hours of this night, plus all the other paranormal investigations, there was never one cuss word brought up.
Yeah,
it was not like these little meters are, you know, faked and designed to throw out a cuss word every once in a while. No, I didn't see it the entire month.
We got
here.
Two of them.
Yeah. Right back to back. So what happened was, I sit down and
it says, hi, Steven, as soon as you walk up, which already by itself is crazy.
Yeah. And then I remember we asked, like, or you had asked, or Brian or something.
No, it just said, I think you said, who am I? And it said, asshole.
Yeah. So they were trying to get, you know, owner, all that, because
or Steven again.
Yeah, and in other cases, that's what they got. Like, if a spirit I didn't really know, someone had died years ago, there we would get Steven or owner. You know, in this case, it was, who is this person? And it responded, asshole. And asshole was always Flynn's way of that was his bonding with you. He'd come in, what's up, asshole? What's up? Flip you off. And that was part of our thing. And the way he emotionally connected with people, and same with fuck you. That was
which we got a few minutes later.
Because I was like, I didn't know who we were talking to.
Well, we thought we were talking to fucking Clark Gable because we were sitting right by the Clark Gable wall. We're sitting at that far booth.
Yeah,
and it said cloak, and we realized it said Clark. And you were like, Andrew Clark? Because we got Andrew a couple times. And George goes, Clark Gable. And like the meter started spiking. And we realized this is part of the plane wreckage right here. Now, granted, he wasn't in the plane, but he was there during the search efforts.
Yeah, and I have learned from Monica, a.k.a. Trudy, in the Fallout New Vegas game, that because she's worked there for years. She managed the place back in the day. And she said Clark Gable and Carol Lombard would often go visit small towns around Las Vegas and probably came into the saloon numerous times without us knowing. Now, I do know he came when Carol Lombard's plane crashed for sure, because he used, once again, the real Doc Mitchell, his aunt was around back in the day in the 40s, and he used their phone at their house to check on the rescue effort. So there is that history back there. And then, of course, we've had numerous deaths on the property. You know, normal stuff from people just being at the bar and having a heart attack and dying to poker games back in 1950 where someone was straight out murdered and shot and killed and fell dead right there on the saloon floor. So it would make sense with its 111-year history that you're going to have some... If anywhere is going to be haunted, it's going to be the Pioneer Saloon.
Yeah. And apparently it's on top of a mine shaft.
It is. Too. Yeah. So, and God, and one thing Flynn brought up here in this very studio was how back when it was a mining town, you know, there were probably tons of deaths that weren't even recorded, you know, accidents. And, you know, there was no OSHA back then and shit like that. So there's, there's a bunch of activity. And even as we've deep dove some of the historical stuff, we found out, and we haven't even really talked about this on any shows or any magazines or anything, was how at one point, like other towns where people move in to work from all over the world, there was like a street that was the Italian section and another street that was the, yes, another street that was the Irish section, and so on and so forth. Because Good Springs has 200 people nowadays. That's our population. But
probably during the mining days, it's probably a lot, right?
It was 800 at its height, which was the same size as Vegas back in the early 1900s. So they were comparable-sized towns. But you would actually, ironically, go to Good Springs for the nice shit, like luxury goods and good clothes, confectionery stores, all that kind of stuff. There were 7 bars and 6 cafes. And 3 brothels, but now it's not legal in that county. So I got to drive. I mean, a person would have to drive to Nye County.
So Nye County, which my grandparents live right by that place.
Oh, so they probably frequent the local brothels. But so you know, there's all this history that makes sense. There's so many things you can connect to, and weird things. And what I was getting with even the different streets had there, we found even another murder that took place with an Italian at a bar in Good Springs, likely the Pioneer Saloon, and no one even talks about that killing. So there's names, and what's funny is some of those investigations, there would be some Italian words brought up, and I was like, well, that's kind of weird.
Trying
like,
to think if we had any.
Yeah, I was trying to, and now, like I said, I was drunk the entire year. Yeah, yeah. 2023.
So your memory's a little foggy.
I'm like, was it that time? But there was a few times where Italian words came up, and I didn't know that history until some of our people had uncovered it and through some UNLV archives. And I was like, well, that explains the Italian words that were coming up all the time. And so there's probably shit we don't even know about that we're connecting with. But obviously Flynn, so let me finish the Flynn story. So we're first he calls me asshole, which is a term of endearment for him. But I didn't know it was Flynn yet. So yeah. I'm like, I'm going, oh, yeah, I'm the head of the Asshole Association.
And it
which,
said basically. It responded basically because you go, am I the head of the Asshole Association? And it
yes,
came
basically.
Back basically.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a real charity division of Pioneer Saloon, blah, blah, blah. But and then I go, yeah. And then he goes, fuck you. And I'm like, fuck you. And that's when I knew it made me happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's when I took you all over. I'm like, guys, look at this
menu.
Yeah,
because we still went, I think, for another 10 or 15 minutes after that. And then we were packing up gear.
Yeah,
like,
right.
And thankfully, we had a camera still available. And you told Brian at first, and Brian called me in, and I came in. And that's how we end the video, is you telling me, I think that was just Flynn. Because if you look on the menu, we have the fuck you Flynn shot.
Yes.
And that was his way of just his greeting to you.
And I remember Brian was freaking out, showing everybody, going, look, like it's in the minute. It's not like I invented that on the spot.
Yeah, no,
to
it was,
make your
that's
show
pretty
cool.
good if he invented a menu right there and then and just knew we were in a
I printed out, you know, hundreds of menus real fast after that happened within a few seconds and then laid them out. No, I mean, it was, you could tell it was legit that.
And I'm sure that was around before he had passed away, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, after we named his favorite beer and shot
like as a memorialization.
After he passed away. Yeah.
Okay.
And we knew since fuck you is one of his things, we're like, we're calling it the fuck you Flynn shot. And we're paying homage, and we do that a lot with menu items. If someone's spouse passed away, like we have a Renegade burger that was based on one of our employees' husband who passed away, and he's a biker, and his biker name was the Renegade. So we'll name stuff off of close people to us that we want to pay homage to, and Flynn was certainly one we were going to do something for. But I hadn't shown, for the record, I had not shown y'all those menus.
No,
I hadn't shown, you know, we hadn't talked
well,
about
we
it.
We showed up, you guys were closing, so we had no reason to see a menu.
Right. Yeah, we were past eating. Y'all, we didn't talk about Flynn until it happened.
And we only talked about him briefly, and you were just saying, this is his stuff here.
Right.
But and was that was
not,
it. And we weren't even thinking, like, we just kind of showed it, and because we were like, this probably won't pertain to anything, you know, because we were thinking, like, you were talking about a boy who had drowned on the property.
Yes.
We were like, that might be who we're talking about. Or
right.
the angle we were trying to come at it from was the man who was shot over the poker game.
Right.
Which is why I went through all the trouble of, like, bringing cigarettes, bringing poker chips, having us sit there.
Yes.
And what was, I don't know if you brought it up or Brian or maybe it was George, because George does this, and he's like, we should have had you guys, like, cheat on a poker game there and see if it would have, like, spruced anything up.
Well, we can still do that. because that we definitely had some energy at the poker
table. You and I did, and it's on camera, and then it went away. It was gone.
And that is the actual poker table where the game happened.
Like, it hasn't been renovated, hasn't been changed.
No. And so it would make sense, but I remember, it was tangible. Like, it was kind of like I was kind of saying earlier when I feel like
I'm... Do you still have that feeling?
I do. Like, I feel like I'm sitting in someone else's space right now. I don't... Like I said, it might just be by mushrooms or whatever, but it could also very well be like I'm sitting in someone's lap and they got their cracker in my juke hole. Sorry.
Jory doesn't know any of these terms. I still have your book. I'll have to let Jory...
Yeah, if you want a glossary, you can...
Yeah. It's great. I think the best one... was and I engineered it when you had High Blue Cactus in here and you talked about the cliche.
Yeah,
they were using it like not in
they
context.
They don't know how to. They can't speak English. Those fucks. can you cliche me? And I'm like, what do you? That doesn't even make sense. It's kank. Where sex is kanking, not cliche. Cliche is female genitalia. Never mind. Like I've given up trying to explain it to people. If you can't use. You should be able to deduce what it means in a sentence, just the way it's used in a sentence.
But they were like
that's
using
what my
it
teachers,
randomly.
Anna Angola, told me anyway. I feel like I should punch this thing with a key and shoot
shotgun.
It because of the type of can it's in. But it's anyway. Sorry, I'm easily distracted.
No, it's okay.
Shiny.
It's so now I got to get you caught up on what's happening here because I told you
can I mention one thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was still. This was also cool. I don't want to jump on your plug, so to speak. but there were other things that night that were extra freaky. And I remember I told you,
and it wasn't just the crew, by the way.
No,
just,
I mean, you guys are freaks. Don't get me wrong. The people that sit in a dark studio all day long and look at their computers, you know, you get a little
Yeah, we do get a little wiry back here. Yeah.
But regardless, it was one of these things where this particular paranormal investigation, Brian saged us all as we were leaving.
Yes.
And I felt pretty good about that. Like, I felt I didn't take a shower for a week because I'm like, I don't have to. I've been cleansed.
Yeah, you've been cleansed. Yeah. We also, like, here's the thing is, like, I'm not religious, but I was also not going to take any chances. I'm very conflicted about the whole religious thing now after that experience. But go watch my episode with the minister that I did, and you'll hear all about that. But when we came in and I was by myself at first, like, when everybody was getting ready, I just kind of spoke, like, Brian said this, he spoke to the room as well, but I just said, hey, I'm not here to disrupt you. I'm just here to observe. I want to respect your space. And then when we were getting ready to leave, you said, hey, I'm about to lock up. We got to step out so I can lock up. And I said, thank you.
Yes.
To whatever was in there. And I just said, thank you. I'm going home now. Do not follow me.
I think that goes a long way with the spirits that are there.
It does.
It does. You know, we're not coming in as a force to interrupt them any more than they're trying to come in and interrupt us.
Correct.
And as I've said, it's not a dark spirit out there.
Nothing felt dark or demonic. It was terrifying because you don't know what the fuck's going on. And you're in the dark. And it is scary. Like, hearing something, you good? And okay, Jory just looked around like something just tapped him.
That's probably my cracker.
Nothing felt, and I would say, and I would argue, the story that makes the most sense to me is like the child who drowned in the well. It feels very mischievous, very like rambunctious.
And that's why I feel like there's spirit of kids there, because that's most of the stuff we deal with is mischievous stuff. And, you know, I know I just put this can right here, and I looked away for a second, and now it's over here.
Right. You get that a lot, right?
Yeah. And it's, but even more pronounced. And in your particular, as we've talked about.
Oh, we didn't even get this on. I just remembered we were packing up. Somebody had went to the bathroom and they got out and they closed it. And we were like, hey, you didn't close the door. And they're like, no, I closed the door for sure. And the door was wide open.
Oh, yeah.
Wide open in the men's bathroom. We're like, dude, you got to close the door before we leave. And they were like, no, I closed the door. And then we were like, anybody else use it? And we're like, no, that door was closed, right?
Yeah. And that happens all the time.
Door was wide open.
And it doesn't have, you know, it's fun turning off all the lights and doing it in the middle of the night for the vibe of it. But it can be daytime, morning, you name it. It doesn't shut off because it's light outside. So all the time we're dealing with just and more pronounced things than just something you can go, oh, maybe he just forgot that he set down the can. It's like, wait, we all knew this was this way.
Yep.
Now it's not. What just happened? Can we catch it on? Like, go back and check the security cameras and see what happened. Which, getting to a story on that.
Yeah,
one
no,
too.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I didn't mean to interrupt you on
here. No, but I have a house down the street from the Pioneer Saloon in Good Springs that's even older.
Which, not to hint too much, but I think we might be paying it a visit
this year.
We should,
because now there is some dark energy there, I will tell you that. I don't know what's happened at that property in the past. Apparently, one of my neighbors told me the previous owner, that was part of his reason for selling the house. Now, granted, I didn't know that when I bought the damn thing, of course. I didn't even know there was a mine shaft on it, which only in Good Springs would you buy a house with an old mine shaft, like, because it was a mining town.
Are you able to access it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we have not explored that yet, for the record, if you want the exclusive for the first time. Do you have drones and shit that can go down there?
We may have to get one.
Yeah, because that's, anyway, that's a whole other.
We might have to get an RC car with an IR strap to it and just.
Yeah, because that would work. You need something that can go down. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like straight out of a sci-fi movie where you throw the penny in and you wait to hear, or the rock, and you wait to hear it land, and it takes a while. It's way down in there. It looks like a missile silo. We haven't seen the bottom of it. And the previous owner told the buying agent that it actually, those shafts connect to the Pioneer Saloon, which would not shock me because there's miles and miles of mine shafts and tunnels in Good Springs.
Right.
So, and Pioneer had to make it through Prohibition.
It's probably how they got smuggled some of it out.
And we do have that shaft underneath. So it would be really cool in the energy of the universe if I bought a house that's connected to the Pioneer without even knowing it.
Yeah. So, okay, but so your but house...
Yeah, so then, and we have shit happen all the time.
Yeah, you said on the show last time that you have like a security door in there that's very heavy.
Yes.
And you
literally, it can only use my fingerprint to open or a key that, you know, I only have. And we'll even test it and we'll close it at the end of the night, make sure it's totally closed, go to bed, and then it's wide open in the morning. And then we'll hear whatever chick I'm with that night will tell me they saw some shit and, you know, saw someone standing above me or heard my name called. Or I was like, maybe that was me calling my own name while I was kanking. But in this particular case, they swore I was asleep.
Yeah.
And so, all the time stuff happens there. That's why I think y'all would get some good. And it's a darker energy. It's not like the Pioneer where it's mischievous. There's some weird shit where I feel uncomfortable in my own house where I'm like, what the fuck was that?
How often do you stay there?
I'll go like weeks where I'm out there pretty regularly, and then other times where I'm traveling or in staying in Las Vegas. But almost every time I stay out there, something happens where I'm like, okay, that's weird, you know. So, but in this particular case, to our point of where it was, always get cleansed whenever you start dealing with these darker energies, because I did another paranormal investigation, say a couple days later, a couple nights later after you guys, and you know, it was fun and we had a good time and we, you know, heard and saw some things. But the craziest thing, now we did not have Brian there to say just we were leaving, and I realized I took something home to my Vegas house, which is new and nice and big and not haunted at all, until I did, you know, that month of paranormal crap and didn't cleanse myself, and this chick came home. All of a sudden stuff is like flying off my bed. There's stuff falling down in the middle of the night that shouldn't be doing that. I'm hearing my name call, everything. It was like,
now did you contact Brian? And
no,
come in and cleanse it?
Yeah, I guess I need to have him come over and cleanse me to this day. Now that sounds a little strange, but
and we mean it both ways.
Yeah, we do.
We do mean it both
ways. You
know,
he's a good-looking guy. What can I say? So this particular night, you know, it was great, and you know, they did a good job. It was one of the local news organizations, and they was shut down, and I was the only one there left to close up. So it was like two in the morning or so, and I'm walking around just putting stuff up and locking doors and all that, and then I hear this huge loud noise back in the dining room, kind of where the Flynn Memorial was hanging.
And when was this, by the way?
This was a couple nights after I saw you get after.
Okay, so like that week probably.
Yeah,
you came in on
same
a Wednesday.
Week, yeah, because it was before Halloween.
Yeah, okay.
Both of our I think.
We did the 18th.
18th,
and
okay.
We premiered it on the 30th.
Yeah, so it had to be, you know, within days of yours.
Okay.
So I hear this loud noise, and I'm like, oh, crap. You know, and I wasn't scared at first because it was so loud. I was like, oh, that's the guy. That's the production team. Like, they must have forgotten something and came back in, or they never left, or they leaned something, you know, some of their equipment against the wall. And I go over, and I'm looking, and I'm like, crap, nobody's in here. Maybe they're outside leaning against the wall or something. And I go outside, all their cars and production trucks are gone. Everyone's gone. No one's outside or inside. I'm by myself going, okay, that I cannot. I was looking for anything that could have fallen, like anything that could have made a noise that loud. And you can see me on the security cameras walking around trying to figure it out. And then I'm finally like, okay, I can't explain that. I can check more in the daytime. I'm going to go ahead and leave the rest and get out of here. And then the next day I go, I look at the security footage, and as I'm standing between the saloon and the dining room, and you can tell I'm still looking around trying to figure shit out, this light comes over, goes up towards my head, goes over my head, and then out a different direction.
Do you still have this video?
Yes. In fact, it's on YouTube, on Pioneer Saloon's YouTube. I posted it on Halloween. I got it. I had to edit it real quick because I was like, it was still Halloween season. And
and
that was so fun. I was like, people will get a kick out of this. Because A, I didn't know it was happening at the time. B, it wasn't just an orb. Like, it had a tail. And then it shifts positions and then and then goes leaves a different angle. And I even run it even on the YouTube version. I slow it down so you can see slow mo what it does. And I can tell you, I know what a piece of dust looks like on security footage. I know what a bug looks like. It was neither. And I was like, holy fuck. Like, you know, when I first saw it, I was asking everyone around me, like, what is this? And they're like, I have no idea. Like, I didn't even know it happened to me at the time, but it's pretty neat. Like, because I, to this day, can't explain what it was. Like I said, it was not a bug, was not a piece of dust. And it wasn't just a straight orb because it had a tail. And even in slow mo, there was no reflection or anything else going on. I can't explain it. So that's why I tell people, I'm like, whether you believe in ghosts or not, the energy out there is palpable, as we know.
Yeah.
And if you're connected to it, you know, if you're like Buffy, good God, like I felt bad the last time I was hanging out with Buffy at the Pioneer because she's, you know. She's so connected.
I would almost not want to bring her for like out of like respect to her, but I wonder what it would be like to do.
Yeah, because that wasn't even on purpose. When she,
she's probably just there hanging out with Brian, right?
Oh yeah, and she was connecting with their relatives that had passed away and all that instantly, to the point where like the server came over to take her order and she couldn't even talk. Like she was crying. It was intense.
Yeah,
and we weren't even trying. But like I said, people like that can't shut it off.
Yeah.
So it's neat. Like I think, if you're at all open to your surroundings, you'll pick up. There's a palpable energy that is just inexplainable.
Yeah. So that leads me into, before we wrap up, that leads me into what we have planned for this weekend, where in the last few months we've had an uptick in activity here at the studio. So George, who was on the hunt with us, he was recording his show during football season, and it was in here on a Sunday night at like 9 p.m. It was just him and his fiance. Nobody else is in the studio. Nobody else is in these buildings over next to us. And he goes to clap, and you hear something fall in the back, much like how we did at the Pioneer.
Yeah.
He told me that he gets up, and like after they record, he's like, we're going to stay in here. He's like, don't let the energy in here. We're just going to finish recording. Yeah. He gets up, he goes out there, nothing has been moved. Nothing has fallen, nothing is, and it's a different place. So that's one thing. Second thing is, this was last week. Travis comes in, and so we start our days kind of early here, and I get in first, usually. And the alarm wasn't set, which kind of is somewhat frequent. I come in, no big deal. 20 minutes later, Travis comes in. And he goes, Austin, you may have noticed that the alarm wasn't set. It's because the alarm kept going off, and it kept saying that it kept detecting a person. Here.
Weird.
And he's like, there's nobody here. It was like in 3 a.m.
Interesting.
So there's that. We do a live call-in show every Friday with my co-host, Noah, the Black Cauldron, who is a spiritualist, who is very inclined and in tune with all this. She tells me every time, she's like, Austin, when are we going to cleanse this place? She's like, this place has an energy to it you just aren't aware of. And I'm like, okay, all right. And then one of our viewers on the show said, guys, there are entities in that room screaming around you right now. We're live on YouTube in Studio B, and somebody's commenting this to us.
Wow.
Like, how do you even take that? Like, how do you even process what you were just told? Like,
that's neat. And then just what you were saying about the cameras going off, like someone was in here. Did I tell you my story about the cameras going off the saloon in the middle of the night?
I think so, yes.
I can't remember if we covered that on
one of
your other
programs. Yeah,
because
I think that was the we were like, kind of, should we do it? Because I wasn't on board yet when we had you on. I think I had you on as like a precursor to like,
yes, that's
should
right.
we do it?
Yes.
Also, Jay Wozley was on the show, and he wasn't doing the investigation, but I think he was on crew when they went to the Pioneer, and he told me, he was like, because I told him off camera, I was like, dude, I'm a little nervous. Like, I'm a little nervous to do this right now, and he was like, it's a good first place because it's not, like you said, it's not a dark energy. It's like, it's a good first place to do it there. And sure enough, afterwards, I had an episode with him afterwards, and I even showed him some of the footage. I said, this is some of the stuff we caught. And he goes, looks like you might have something.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. But I just thought it was funny that my experience matched yours here with the security footage. And then there not being, and in my case, it was literally a motion detector going room by room, like someone was walking through the property,
it was
and
following.
Back. Yeah, and no one was there, no animal, no person, nothing to this day, we, you know, we've had a, numerous people study the footage, and there was no explanation for that happening at 3 a.m. But this studio, it's interesting because it does have a lot of character, but it's modern and nice, and you don't think haunted stuff with nice new, kind of like my Vegas house. I'm not, never feel like there's anything haunted about it or scary or anything until now. But there's definitely, you know, there's an energy for sure.
Yeah.
Like I said, I still feel like I'm sitting in someone's chair.
Yeah. Jory is, he's like, say psych right now. he's like, hey, Jory, I told you, welcome to Bizarre Junkies, man. This is, it's George, bizarre. George has, I've kind of ruined George.
Well, a lot of people have, but I don't want to, that's a whole nother topic on a different day.
God,
that's the old. So
that's what we're doing
podcast.
This weekend, Steven.
No, that's
old man
awesome.
Liver. That's
yeah,
what we're doing.
No, thank you. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's going to be. We're going to do it the same way we did the Pioneer, same production value.
I'll be watching that because that's. Yeah. I love this shit.
But I think we need to maybe this year, maybe in a few months. I think we need to come.
Yeah, you got to get my house. And check out that mine. God knows what bodies are in there or what. I mean, I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
That's why I haven't explored it. You know,
We should invest in like a thermal imaging camera.
That would be it.
Yeah. You could take like a drone down there with that camera see if you see anything down there.
You just made me think of an idea for a product, a thermal imaging sex toy. Like that would be cool. Like who's done that yet? Nobody. And that could add a whole nother spiritual
6D.
Anyway, sorry.
Like 6D, like six that. Dimension.
Not 3D, 4 or 40, but 6D.
Unless you're at a
6D,
special kind
G,
of
like my D.
I was gonna say, unless you're at a specific kind of party, then there is 6D.
Which I throw a lot of those. So speaking of that, can I plug my
of course,
show real
yeah.
Quick?
I, so, yeah. I was gonna get to that.
On my
know.
Birthday, 420, yes. Old Man Liver and the Fluffers is performing at the Haunted Pioneer Saloon. So if you're looking for something to do on April 20th at that night at 7 o'clock, come on out.
Now with it being 420, is it 420 friendly?
Well, no, here's the official legal explanation. No bars. We're given the weed licensing, the first like 20 licenses the state distributed. They didn't include bars, which was stupid because we're used to carding people and we're used to
being, it's already built in.
Yeah, it's built in. We're used to those kind of regulations and compliance and stuff. So why did people not think that people mix alcohol and marijuana? It's stupid. So like it made no sense. But we do celebrate. Weed being legal in Nevada every Wednesday with Whiskey Women and Weed Wednesdays at the Pioneer Saloon. So we have a stoner menu. So if you go smoke before you get to the Pioneer, not driving, of course,
no.
But then we've got a stoner menu with a bunch of crazy shit like hamburgers with where the buns are donuts and Doritos thrown on there and all the munchy shit. So we do celebrate it. So, but this particular day is 420 falls on a Saturday. So
man. It's about to be a rager at
it's
the
gonna
Pioneer.
It's going
to
be fugly, for sure.
Fugly.
So if you'd like to join us, and we can do a little ghost hunting later in the night, hi.
Here's the thing, that we might actually see something, but not actually there.
Right. That's why you have to distinguish between, you know, don't go ghost hunting after
Steven,
you do
ayahuasca. Steven, do I see that, or am I just, is that a good string?
How was the ayahuasca?
Oh, doing ayahuasca now. Oh my God.
Oh, sorry. I mean, so I've read.
It might be on the special menu there. But I just want to say thank you again a ton for coming to
sorry. I'm so used to slamming my beers. Excuse me. Oh shit, sorry. Pardon me, I'm sorry we just met. This is embarrassing. But at least I didn't shit myself because at my age, you just never know. You laugh too hard. Anyway.
Oh, so, my God. Welcome to Bizarre Junkies.
It's always fun having being on Bizarre Junkies. This is a great show.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I'm impressed. I love how far
thank you.
This has come and wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you.
Thanks
I really appreciate it. Do we have a What's What to look forward to? Do we have an upcoming season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Season 3 of What's What with Old Man Liver podcast starts May 1st. So,
okay.
Yeah. I think my first guest is a guy who got out of the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, you know, the crazy cult Mormons in Southern Utah.
We have a host here that I had on the show who got out of Westboro Baptist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just as nutty.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's interesting. You know, it's always fascinating when someone's able to work their way out of a cult and like how, you know, their whole story's behind it. So I think that's my first guess. But yeah, thanks for bringing that up too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I produced that show. So of course.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it. Yeah, it's great. I love the studio. I love your show.
Thank you. We love having you here as well. And thank you again for allowing us to come and check out the Pioneer and potentially now even your house, which I think would be crazy. I think we need to maybe for like the summer or something.
Yeah, let's come put out that on the agenda.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, like we'll talk after this.
Okay.
We'll talk after this. Maybe we'll do some blow or something like that after.
That's illegal.
Yeah, it's illegal. But you have some?
Yep. ape water, I'm telling you. It's tasty.
They're going to call me and be like, who is that guy?
We don't want him drinking our water. He's bad for business.
I wouldn't say that. But thank you so much for coming on. You guys can follow him at all of his tags, which we just displayed. I want to say thank you to Jory for engineering. Also, I want to say, and I say this every episode, but please go check out the Ghost Hunt video. I mean, you're in it. We put a lot of love and care into that.
Neat.
And it was, I would say, very eye-opening for myself. Travis and George were still on the fence. That's why I'm going to make them go through the ringer this weekend. But it was a lot of fun, and it really kind of jump-started Bizarre Junkies into the paranormal realm of doing paranormal investigations, which we're doing another one this weekend with Black Cauldron and Brian Hopkins from Here's Journey again. He's also going to be there.
Awesome.
And it's going to be, I'm curious to see what we might find here, because we're going to have a lot more gadgets, a lot more, I don't want to say structure, because last time we didn't know what we were doing. We were just like, okay, I think we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. Let's just kind of see how it plays. But this time we have not a script, but we have these are the key things I want to do while we're here. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. I'm not going to say it because you're going to have to watch it when it comes out. But I think it's going
to
be good.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
And then, we'll have to do another one in Good Springs at your house and see if we can get down to that mine shaft. So thank you so much, everybody watching. Please consider becoming a member on YouTube for as little as 99 cents. You can see the full interviews of people like Old Man Liver and the other employees at Pioneer Saloon. You will also, now this is something we just came up with today, we're going to be doing a lot more interviews for the Sticky Paws investigation. Now, not all of them are going to potentially make it in the full video, but you can watch all of them if you are a YouTube member. And I think we're going to release them weekly leading up to the release of the actual full video. As well, you can see the director's cut of the Ghost Hunt that we did, and it's over an hour long.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, I'll send that to you and make sure that you get that. And and make sure to check out all of our extra content on YouTube. And also, don't forget to tune into our Calls from Beyond live show every Friday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, where you, the audience, gets to call in and tell us your stories. And they have some crazy wild stories. I'd recommend listening to an episode because it gets those people
out.
They have some stories, and some of them are from Louisiana.
I'm sorry.
No, we love them all. But thank you so much to everybody, and until next time, stay bizarre.